Within hours of taking the oath of office yesterday, President Joe Biden signed a slew of executive actions rolling back policies that had been enacted by the Trump administration. And among them were a number of actions related to immigration. And that includes terminating the so-called Muslim ban implemented in 2017, putting an immediate pause on the construction of the border wall, and a move to safeguard the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA. The president also introduced a sweeping immigration bill that would create a path to citizenship for millions of undocumented immigrants and provide foreign aid, to several Central American countries. So over the last several years, WBUR has stayed in touch with some young dreamers, enrollees in the DACA program, as they have been buffeted by federal policy changes. And we wanted to check in with them today, given these new actions by the new president. So we welcome back Elias Rosenfeld and Estefany Pineda. Welcome back to Radio Boston to both of you.
Thank you for
having us. Thank you.
Great to have you. So, Estefany, we've talked to you a number of times before. What's your reaction to the new president taking these actions, you know, literally hours after his inauguration?
I think it's very hopeful to see that literally hours after being sworn in, that he's already talking about an immigration policy. That does give me hope. But as I have been saying, it's cautious hope. I'm very hopeful it's going to get somewhere, but it's also a time to see something more concrete. But I am very happy about it.
And Elias, is it cautious optimism for you too? Is that your reaction?
Yes, I think we have to be cautiously optimistic just because a permanent solution has taken so long to fight to get. But at the same time, I think that it being one of the first executive orders shows the priority this administration has on the issue in comparison to past administrations, as well as a recognition of our labor for the last 4 years in bringing this program to the forefront of the public in this country. And it shows with data and polling that continuously shows that over 80% of Americans across political parties and spectrum support the DACA program. So I think it was common sense for this administration to pass that executive order. And I also think it will foreshadow a centering of immigration policy in Congress in the upcoming months.
So I'll come back to you then, Estefany. We do know about this sweeping immigration overhaul. It would include an 8-year pathway to citizenship for millions of undocumented immigrants here in the United States. It safeguards or seeks to safeguard DACA. And that DACA is then expected essentially to turn into a 4-year extension that would bridge through getting immigration legislation passed. What would that mean for your family, for all of that to happen, for you and your family?
It would be, it's not just me in my household that has DACA, as I've spoken about it before. My two older sisters, they also have DACA, and I know TPS is included in there, and my mother has TPS, so it literally affects my entire family. So having something like that, that obviously it's a working process, and it is going to take 8 years for it to fulfill, but just knowing that gives us peace of mind, and also to my mother, since TPS is supposed to end in October and she doesn't know what she's going to do, if she's going to be able to work or what's going to happen. So having something like this just allows us to have more peace and to be able to know that I can finish my education and then I can go ahead and look for a long-term job, that my mom can continue working and stay here, because in the past few years, we had even started making plans of going back to El Salvador. So it's just very, it brings a sense of comfort and peace that we hadn't had in the past few years.
And just for our, our listeners, TPS stands for Temporary Protected Status. Elias, I'll turn back to you. You know, one of the things that's striking about this moment is you as a dreamer would live under one America under President Obama. Then here comes President Trump. It's a different America. Now here's Joe Biden, and it's another America again. I think that's hard for people who haven't lived in that whiplash to understand. What has that been like? And are you hopeful that there will be less of that change now?
Yes, definitely. It is a constant pendulum, from going from the Obama administration before DACA to then when he passed DACA to then an administration that at every opportunity sought to attack immigrants, being weekends that I had to hide in my apartment when they had announced immigration raids, to now an administration that is very friendly to immigrants. But I think that highlights the necessity for permanent protections because we cannot live our lives dependent on who is in the White House. We have to have permanent protections that give us a pathway to citizenship, that give us some stability in the only country we call home. And the only way we're going to get that is through legislation in Congress. And so when we talk about the constant kind of emotional wreckage that is the uncertainty of DACA from administration to administration, it sort of highlights the core necessity of why legislation is needed to finally solve this issue that has been in the political scene for over 20 years now.
Stephanie, what do you hope is going to be possible for you now?
I think stability, and my major is international relations, in which I hope to be able to travel for a job. And I had always been fearful of saying I'm studying international relations, because for those who know my status, they're like, well, what's the point if you can't go anywhere? So even just that little thing, like, well, it seems little, but it's just now it seems like my dreams and like what I want to do as a career, like it's more possible now than it was before.
Yeah, that doesn't seem little. It seems huge. How about for you, Elias?
Yeah, I think it just gives us finally some time to see into the future. For the last 4 years, I think most DACA recipients and undocumented immigrants have really been unable to plan or see their lives ahead of more than maybe a month or so, waiting on court decisions, waiting on the president to tweet about your fate. It's been a constant uncertainty. So I'm looking forward to having some more clarity. For me personally, I'm hoping to go to law school next year. And so having permanent protections means that I'd be able to legally practice the law in every state in this country. And so that to me is very personal because it means I can pursue the career that I've always wanted to. But for me, it's just finally breathing a little easier, not really fearing every morning of what's to come, and also looking forward to finally working on passing policy that uplifts our community versus having to defend the gains that we have had for the last 4 years.
Well, that is Elias Rosenfeld and Estefany Pineda, two local DACA recipients. You guys have been so generous with your stories and your experiences for our listeners and for us at WBUR to understand what you're experiencing. I'm really grateful to you. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So we're going to turn now to WBUR's Shannon Dooling, who has reported on immigration policy for a number of years. Shannon, great to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing well, Tiziana. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. And I am moved, honestly, by what I heard from Estefany and Elias, and I know you heard the conversation. What are your reactions?
I think first I would say that, that cautious optimism that we heard them both express is really representative of, I think, many DACA recipients in the community in Massachusetts and throughout the country today. I mean, if you really think about what this community in particular of recipients has been through in the last couple of years, it's been one roller coaster after another. And so while this does offer some, reprieve, I think that that cautious optimism is warranted and understandable.
So, what is going to be different for lives of dreamers in the Commonwealth? And how soon will those changes go into effect?
Sure. So, I think when you consider the whiplash, as you referred to it earlier, that this community's experienced, particularly under the Trump administration, years of mixed messages from Trump, all of the court battles, to see that program in writing again, is a sense of relief. It means that new applicants may now pursue DACA protections. That's something that had been on hold for the last few years. And by some estimates, there are 20,000 DACA eligible young people in the state. And so, that's a significant number of people who could have these new protections. I think ultimately, again, as we heard Elias and Estefany say, it's a temporary solution, the way that the program stands right now. This sort of next level remedy, if you will, is what we see in President Biden's proposed legislation, right? Which would offer DACA recipients a clear pathway to a green card and citizenship. And that's something that the original program, even established under Obama, did not do.
Yes, yeah, so, you know, to that end, we've talked about the whiplash, the changes from administration to administration. For years, the country has been lamenting that a real immigration reform bill has not been passable in the U.S. Congress. So, you know, I want to ask how feasible the immigration overhaul that the new administration wants actually is.
Right. I mean, it's ambitious. You know, it's ambitious, but Biden had to do it, and he had to do it early. In the administration after making the promises that he made on the campaign trail. And I remember speaking with a lot of folks who were, you know, immigration advocates and people in the community who were are ready to hold him accountable for those promises. So I think with the Democratic majority in the Senate, there's perhaps a sense of optimism on behalf of the stakeholders, advocates, of course, we know. They've been here before, though, you know, on the cusp of large scale immigration reform under Obama, only to have that falter. So I think we see Biden, you know, smartly, I would say, trying to first rebuild some of the trust in these communities with, you know, these executive orders. But the real meaningful structural change that so many immigrant communities have been working for, I mean, we'll have to see if Biden can sell it to some of his colleagues on the right, or even perhaps, you know, fold some of this into economic recovery plans.
So, you know, you actually introduced us here at Radio Boston to Stephanie. You followed her for a number of years now. You followed U.S. immigration policy under Presidents Obama, Trump, now Biden. What has it been like to document, you know, these different approaches to DACA, to immigration policy, and to see firsthand how it has affected people like Elias and Stephanie?
Yeah, it's been a trip for the last couple of years. I can admit that. I mean, I think first, I would say, you know, even with the complete upheaval of immigration policy that we saw under Trump, which, you know, seemed to happen overnight, just like this change under now President Biden has changed overnight. You know, fewer people were deported under Trump than were deported during the first term of the Obama administration. I think that's something we need to keep in mind here. I mean, we've heard this moniker from immigration advocates referring to Obama as deporter in chief. You know, a lot of that has to do with different enforcement priorities early on in the Obama administration. You know, he, of course, pivoted during the second term and started to focus on felons, not families, was his catchphrase, similar to the priorities that President Biden has laid out. You know, those enforcement priorities shifted when Trump was elected, and suddenly anyone in the country without legal documentation was a target for deportation. And we heard Stephanie and Elias talk about the stress that caused.
So we have a little more than a minute left, Shannon, and I want to ask, is this just a return now? So Joe Biden was vice president under Barack Obama. Is this a return to an Obama era set of policies, or is Joe Biden really exploring new territory here?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's worth emphasizing the drastic difference between the Trump priorities and what we're seeing so far in these first 2 days from Biden. Tremendous amount of fear within immigrant communities, a tremendous amount of stress, this constant unknowing of whether your family member was going to come back from work. To an extent, there's a reprieve from that now with Biden's new enforcement priorities. When we look beyond the executive orders to Biden's proposed immigration reform, I think that's where we see the really significant proposals, right? A pathway for citizenship for DACA recipients.
10 seconds.
Yeah, 11 million undocumented residents living in the U.S. who could have access to citizenship. It's significant. It's substantial.
Well, WBUR Shannon Dooling. Shannon, I appreciate you giving us the analysis. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.